Shemai a Croeso. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the CC4 Museum of Welsh Cricket Podcasts. And it's great to be back after our four-week break. I hope everyone is enjoying the good weather and the cricket that you're playing or watching wherever you are. The guest on this week's podcast is ex-Glamorgan and England physio Dean Conway. Dean has had a career in elite sport as a physiotherapist going back to the 1980s and has worked with some of the great names in cricket of the last 30 years. I met him at the Village Hotel in Coryton, so do excuse some of the background noise in the chat. We hope you enjoy it.
Well, welcome to the CC4 Museum of Welsh Cricket podcast, Dean.
Thank you.
Where should we begin? Let's go right the way back. Tell us a little bit about you, where you were born, family, early days.
Mountain Ash boy, through and through. Grew up there, played rugby up there. Left when I was 16 to come down and play rugby in Cardiff, and Cardiff Youth as was then, and then sort of stayed almost to university at 18, Cardiff Uni Physio School to 21, and sort of stayed in Cardiff since really. So I mean, but you know, my wife's from Mount, all my family are up there, and as I say, and my three kids are all Cardiff born, but you know, back and forth the valleys as much as we are really. So quite lucky that we've got a great sort of spot in Cardiff to spend most of our time, and then the valleys to fall back on for rugby on Saturdays and stuff, you know.
And mum and dad?
Still up in Mountain Ash, yeah, still going. They run a pub for the best part of 20, 30 years. Mount Pleasant Hotel, and I sort of pretty much grew up in there, so grew up you know, around loads of different people and different sort of characters in a valleys pub and a mining pub at that, you know, different shifts. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, pub was packed. 6:02 shift would come in, you know, black eyes, and then they'd go out, and then the afternoon shift would come in. Is an amazing place to grow up, yeah.
And playing sport, you mentioned rugby. Was rugby always the main sport for you growing up?
Yeah, it was mainly rugby. I played a bit of football in goals because I couldn't run. Never played any cricket, funny enough. All rugby, and I played a lot of squash. I've gone into golf of late, but I love my rugby and still do. I watch kids rugby, I watch, you know, schools rugby. Weekends, I watch all the games, you know. Not a massive club fan or region fan. I support Mountain Ash, you know, the old firm, and still go up to watch them on a Saturday afternoon, home or away where I can. And that, I actually enjoy that level of rugby, you know, to watch of an afternoon, you know. I don't go and watch regions much. Doesn't really do a huge amount for me, that, but you know, I do enjoy that sort of grassroots rugby, you know, and the characters that spin off from that as well, yeah.
When you were playing then, 16, 17, 18, and thinking of your university career, how did the idea of physio come about?
I was lucky enough, I got picked for Wales schoolboys, I think for under 15s, I think, for the youngest ones. And we were going to Scotland for a game, and I turned my ankle playing a school game a couple of weeks before, 3 weeks before. And my old man took me down to Jerry, who was the legendary sort of Welsh physio at the time, and had some wax baths and stuff on my ankle, and probably in hindsight, not the best thing to be doing in acute injuries and that, but you know, it really did the trick for me, and it got me fit to travel up and play. I was at that point, I thought, I wouldn't mind doing that really. So I wanted to be a surveyor initially. I was into property and stuff, and I still enjoy that side of things, but ended up going to physio school. I got offered, I think at the time, South Glam Institute. Obviously the rugby there was big, and I think my offer was like 1 E to get in there, and my physio offer was something like 2 E's to get in there really, and I think they're pretty much, certainly the physio school in Cardiff is straight A's now, which is crazy from my point of view. But so the rugby, probably injuries in rugby that took me through that, you know, but no real sort of imminent urge to do that from a certain age group, just through coming across people who treated me really while I was playing sort of Welsh schools and Welsh youth stuff, you know, going through from there.
And the process of studying physio, did that capture your interest?
I was one bloke and 26 women in my year, so our principal, Mrs. Howell Evans, who's a big sort of matron-like lady, famously said, put yourself around Mr. Conway, so I did my best, Steve, to be honest. Had a great time in uni because, you know, the girls do look after you, don't they? But I was obviously playing rugby at the time, done car for the Rags and that. Fantastic times, though. We generally play Monday night, Wednesday night, Saturday in them days. And, you know, I was only 19, starting doing that. It was tough, but it was great fun, you know, playing with the likes of our first team at the time were Eidman, Whitefoot, Phillips, Norster, Kevin Edwards, John Scott, you know, Holmesy, Gareth. Amazing times and really sort of good 4 or 5 years down there. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But yeah, tough academically getting through that for me. It was not, you know, I did okay in my A's, but I think the practical side of it kept me more interested, you know, and the sports side in particular. And managed to squeeze through finals at 21, and then I think my first placement was on intensive care in Cardiff Royal Infirmary. And I wouldn't have said I was hugely clued up on what I was doing there at the time. I think it's all part of the experience of it. You've got to get that clinical placement and get out there as well. And so I did a couple of years rotational stuff within the NHS then, and took a senior job up at Tullaghan Miners Rehab Centre, which was a fascinating place at the time. It's not there anymore, but it was this sort of like 5-star rehabilitation centre for, you know, old miners and stuff. And again, you go back to the characters and the pubs and up there, they knew more clinical tests than the surgeons looking after them. It was an amazing spot. Did a couple of years there before starting with Glammy then, yeah.
And what period are we talking about now? I
started at Glamorgan April 1st, 1989. So I finished there 30 years to the day, 2019, April 1st. I just fell into it by the guy that was looking after Cardiff Rugby at the time and Wales Rugby, was Tudor Jones, the physio. And Tude asked me, because I was playing at Cardiff with him, would I look at doing Glamorgan through the summer for him, you know, because he was on, they started tours then, and so he was too busy. So I'd look at it and said, yeah, okay, I'd do it. And Mike Fackian, I met with Mike, one of my best mates now, and we had a chat and I signed like a 6-month contract. But, you know, I remember on a Saturday afternoon just packing my bag and going off to play rugby at 1 o'clock, and there was no physio cover or anything left there, you know. It was pretty ad hoc in them days, different to now, but I don't know, it seemed to work, you know. There were no doctors present or and then slowly physio started travelling to away games with clubs and stuff, and then developed into, you know, home and away cover like they've got now, and second team cover home and away as well now.
And how much did you know about sports physio when you joined Glamorgan?
I'd worked, we had a little practice over at the Arms Park, I was based in there, and obviously I was playing at Cardiff, so we used to get a few of the Cardiff lads in. We looked after the ice hockey boys at the time, the Leeks Welsh squash team, I don't know if you remember them, they were like one of the best teams around, and we had two or three guys in the world top 10 at the time, Wales, so... between the ice hockey lads, the rugby, the cricket, we were pretty busy across there, you know. So I spent most of my time doing that before going into Glamorgan, really. And obviously the NHS rotations and in particular something like a rehab centre, you've got musculoskeletal medicine, you know, your shoulder is the same as any other bugger shoulder, so you know, you gain your experience from that, really. But in that level of sport, it was you know, again, it's you gain experience through time. You can't gain that experience if you're not in there, type of thing. So but I've always looked at sport as simply a musculoskeletal setting, you know, which you'd have in in, you know, the NHS, in the physio department at Prince Charles or the Heath, or in a private clinic in Cardiff, whatever. It's exactly the same thing, really. So long days, obviously, with cricket and stuff, and summer commitment, but they allowed me then to play rugby through the winter, you know.
And you say you look at it like kind of it's just another body, but I guess you were, I mean, I'm thinking very immediately that beginning of the 90s, Sir Vivian Richards comes to Glamorgan around about that time. What's it like when somebody like him pops in and jumps on the table?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, really, from my point of view. I think because of my upbringing and where I'm from, I don't treat anyone any differently, really, and I think people respond to that. And you know, the overseas we had there, from Ravi when I was initially Ravi Shastri through to Viv, but Otis, you know, Callis, Jack Callis, all these guys, Waka, were just fantastic individuals. We were so lucky at that time to pull, you know, that type of overseas player and quality overseas. But speaking to all them, obviously moved on with the England stuff after that, and most of them were still involved in the national sides or the managing or playing. And every time, whether we were in Pakistan, Bangladesh, wherever, they'd come and chat about the glammy days and how much they really enjoyed it, you know. And I miss, you know, you had people like Jack Callis spreading that word, and Viv very much so, but Ravi loved it down here, you know. And Waka the same, you know, so Waka, you know, ahead of his Surrey times, and he loved those few years he had done with us, you know, and it's almost like a one-man sales team for you globally then through cricket, you know, to have those boys speaking of Glamorgan so highly, and of Cardiff as a city as well, you know.
And is it possible to give us a sense of what a normal day would be like as a physio on a cricket side like Glamorgan? How do you begin, and what are you looking at, and what do you do as the
I'm
day
I'm always in early, generally, and at Glammy, for example, Fakim would be in early as well, Mike. So we'd have a coffee before anything would kick off, and I'd like to get, you know, any guys that need anything done come in early, so it doesn't affect the team sort of dynamics and warm-ups and stuff. Not that we used to do many of them in the old days, but so yeah, I mean, you know, on the bed for an hour or so, you might get two or three guys need a bit of work, or eight or nine, you know, it can be a little hectic at that stage. Now once they're out in the field, you're effectively just providing first aid cover then for anything that happens, you know. But so busy in the mornings, and then obviously your workload depends on batting and bowling, really. Once the guys are off the field and you're batting, then it's time to work on bowlers and stuff. And then similarly, once they're on the field, it's a little quieter. You go back to that sort of first aid. The trouble is you've got to watch every ball in case something happens, you know, and they're sort of 10, 11 hour days. But it's not, you know, you're not full on for that period of time. So most of your work is done around, you know, batting. People got access to you then to spend half an hour with you, whatever. And those early sessions in the morning, you know, it's you know, county cricket can finish half past seven, it can finish, you don't get a huge amount done at the end of the day, really. Most of it's got to be done, you know, early morning type of thing, and during the day if you can then. But yeah, there's you know, a lot of stuff outside of the day-to-day physio delivery for, you know, organising diagnostics and scans and appointments and stuff, and follow-ups really, and case studying, you know, tricky individual cases with your medical team, your orthopaedic team, your doctor, you know. We've been lucky to have some great people down there over the years, you know, to help us with that. But it's busy times, you know, but it flies, really, because you're outside, you're in sunshine, you're watching cricket, you know. As I say, I didn't play cricket, it wasn't a sport. I watched cricket on TV, but it's something you do grow into, is that, you know. And I like the 4-day stuff ahead of the 1-day stuff still. You know, test matches, I'm not sure how many in a period of, I think, 12, 13 years with England. I don't know how many I've covered in total, but you know, they are so, 5 days instead of four is such a, you know, one poor hour and you're gone, you know. And it can be so attritional, but there's still a value in that, because you know you know, it's like the slip up there, and the game's gone essentially, you know.
Glamorgan had some fantastic successes in the 1990s. I think in the 1993 Sunday League victory, yeah. And then 1997, yeah. The Championship win.
Yeah.
What are your memories of those seasons and those moments?
For me, it's the sort of the team spirit we seem to have there. We seem to gel. We did used to work hard and to a degree play hard. People think that means, you know, a bottle of vodka every night. But talking about, you know, we'd make a real effort to have team meals together. We'd make an effort to work together. Only on away trips, because you've got family and friends to see when you're home and stuff, so you don't want to sort of. But I think it's important to try and keep together as a group, enjoy each other's company, and the banter in Glamorgan is up there with, you know, I've got a lot of friends in Yorkshire, for example, and it's very similar, you know, McGrath and these sort of boys, Goffey. Great banter, great fun, and it takes your mind off the cricket. I suppose that's one of my jobs over the years, was to defuse a lot of difficult positions with a bit of humour and a bit of fun. And we used to have a giggle. '93, the Viv factor and Cots, you know, top edge in those runs up there. But I didn't go to bed that night, Sunday, and we were fighting for. There was more money on the Monday morning game, the Championship position, than there was on winning the Sunday League, but obviously not the kudos. So, as Glamorgan did, we went pretty hard Sunday after winning that. And I think Viv came in, walked through at Kent, no warm ups at all, had a glass of champagne, and him and Daly went out to chase, what was it, about 270, and I think we were 4 down, 120 for 4 overnight, and they started smacking it. We thought, oh God, we're gonna win this. And then Viv got out, and we folded in the end. So Kent picked us into, I think it was second place, wasn't it? And then 97 was again fantastic. I think we used 14 players all through the summer. Amazing the guys keep going like that. But I think
you take a bit of credit for that, or feel good about that? You perhaps
I was
kept people on the pitch.
Yeah, I was part of it, and that's one of my pluses, I think, is exactly, yeah. What you said, is keeping people on the pitch. You know, I think there's a lot more sort of, you know, approach today is much more scan led and diagnostics led and timescales this, timescales that, instead of maybe look back in yourself on the clinical picture, you know, how they feel, and actually speaking to the player about, can you get through this, giving coaches, do you want this player at 85% or do you want this one at 95%, you know, those, I like to talk in percentages. Are we covered risk? You can, you know, I've sat in test matches with bowlers with niggles, and at midnight the night before on a Wednesday night, the bowler's still not convinced. But you can't decide for that individual. They have to say, yeah, I'm playing. And this one who did eventually say, yeah, I'm playing, went out and got a fifer against Australia the following day. So it's sort of, you expose yourself by being that way, by trying to get people on the field. You know, if you've done your due diligence, if your diagnostics are okay, you know, they've bowled enough overs prior to the game. You can't predict if they've got to bowl 40 overs in 2 days in a test match, how that's going to react, because nobody can, you know, you can't train for that. So I think by doing as much as you can due diligence, then you minimise the risk of Matt in 97 got out in the field and having two bowlers down after day one, you know, in a 4-day game you have to win. So, but touch wood, we didn't have that a huge amount, you know. We had, obviously when you're winning as well, boys don't want to get out to the side, they're desperate to stay in there. So
I guess in a championship season, as it was, maybe not so much nowadays, it's a long attritional kind of season, really. Lots of games.
Yeah, I think the use of rest is key as well. Not just physical rest from nets and bowling, but just to get away from each other. You know, we used to try and encourage a couple of days off, even with test matches. You know, the trend was to the 11 who played would go through the 5-day test, and then boys who didn't play, plus the coaches who just had 5 days, would then have nets for the next 2 days. So you know, coaches were in the break, so we tried to encourage, get all your cricket practice done, boys who aren't playing during the 5-day test match, and then everybody has 2 days break, you know, away from each other, having a game of golf, and just get away from the game as such. And similarly, in 97, I think we were so close as a group, but we spent a lot of time away from each other as well, and that's important, you know. I think you know, we sort of got to a 9-to-5 culture in cricket, which has never really worked for me, you know, in practice and out of season in particular. You know, it's pretty much dark for 7 months in the UK, and yet we contracted people for 12 months, and they're only playing for about 5 months in the summer, so I don't quite get it at the moment. But I think those, you know, that downtime is essential, and it does allow you to come back and play as long as you've got recovery in between, you know. And you've seen, you know, with rugby now, trying to take contact out of training and stuff like that, you can overtrain, and there's no doubt, and you know, you've only got so much on that on button for me for a season, whatever sport you're playing. And you know, to be asked to switch that on too many times by adding huge training days and huge volumes in between games, you don't seem to get the same amount of people available week in, week out, you know. And guys want to play, essentially.
At the end of that championship winning season, I think you were all, the team was invited to Highgrove House for a presentation. Mike Fatkin told me that you were the one person they were worried about taking to Highgrove. Is that true?
I don't know. I mean, I did get, I enjoyed it actually, and we were stood having drinks when Prince Charles came in and met everybody, he said hello, and obviously met me as the physio, and then as everybody does who meets the physio, goes through a full list of his ailments, his back and his shoulder, and I tried to listen sort of intently, but I thought, not you as well. And so Mike was giggling, a few of the lads were giggling, and he wandered off. Alan Evans was there with us as well. Remember Alan from Hammondford? And Alan, he said to Alan, where are you from? He said, Fishguard. He said, lovely. He said, I've got a place down in Fishguard. And Alan said, caravan, is it? He said, no, it's not caravan. But I mean, that was the humour around Welsh cricket at the time. And he did the full room as he does. Amazing sort of, amazing guy, and obviously come back to us then and realised he'd talked to everyone and stuff, and then raised his low back issues again with me, and I'd had 3 or 4 gins by now, so he said, look, you know, no more please, and he was quiet there for a while, but it was fantastic. We had a Buckingham Palace trip that year as well to go up and get boys to get their medals and stuff, so the club went up, and again, a great experience for us. But we, David Morgan was chairman at the time, and what we do well is after parties, so we ended up stopping on the King's Road with David, jumping off and buying bottles of wine and stuff for the trip back, and I had a 70s compilation ready for the bus trip back as well, with Dancing Queen, a few things on there, and we do the formalities well, but you enjoy each other's company, and that was the club top to bottom at that time, you know. I mean, the bus was full of the staff who helped the boys through the season as well, you know, and the players. It was a real tight-knit community, you know.
A number of that team went on to have significant roles with the England team, including yourself. When did the England job emerge as a possible? How,
yeah,
did that come
well
about?
I mean, I started in 93 with England with the under-19s, so I did a couple of years under-19s when Bumble was coach, David Lloyd, and then they asked in 95, they asked me to do the A team then, so I covered A tours from 95 to I think it was about 98, and then they asked me to do the one day. Wayne Morton was in charge then, and Wayne was, you know, it's just starting, the workload to just start doing massive for the physios, because you don't get any days off as physio. You've not, you know, the boys are allocated 3 or 4 days off. You've got injured players to deal with. So that was the first time, I think, 98, I did the one day stuff in Oz, and that, and he did the tests and things. And then the following year, 99, Fletch came on board then, who obviously I had at Glamorgan with me through 97. So at that point, they wanted me to do the whole thing. And I was really conscious. I didn't want to, you know, I'd worked with Wayne, he's a friend of mine, and I didn't want him to be pushed out and stuff. But they said they were going to make the change anyway, so they offered me that role then, full time. So I did that from, I think it's 98 or 99, and then Fletch came on board, and I finished that up in about 2007, and I went World Cup in the West Indies. Yeah. So yeah, I did about 14 years, I think, in all for them in England. Yeah.
That involved a lot of time away from home.
Yeah. A huge amount. The last few years I split then to doing just one day as our tests. The test team were a bit grumpy at the time, so I did the one day as with Orny and that. But we are doing one day, even one day as I was away for like 6 months in the winter, you know. It's unbelievable how much. If you get an ICC tournament at the start of a World Cup track in October in Bangladesh somewhere, for example, then you go out for the Ashes, then you tend to have a World Cup. I think every 4 years there's that cycle. So you've got ICC tournament, Ashes, World Cup in one winter, you know. And even just doing the one-day stuff, you're away for 6.5 months non-stop. So it was crazy, but it was great for me. Yeah, who wouldn't enjoy that, you know? I know these days, you know, they've put a lot more funding into science medicine support so people can have breaks, and you know, I had three kids born. I was away for all of them on cricket tours. You know, you wouldn't come back in them days, and there wasn't the funding to bring you back either. So it's different now, but it was as it was, and I loved it. I wouldn't change it for the world. You know, and we saw some amazing places and some great people. I had some great fun. Yeah.
You were obviously very close to that 2005 Ashes team and part of that victory. What are your memories of that summer?
I remember the T20, which was a T20 or one day, when Darren Goff hit Hayden on the chest, first ball sort of thing. I think it was the Euros year down at the Rose Bowl. And the start of that, I thought, bloody hell, this summer's not going to be as, it could be lively, you know, because England battered Australia for the first one. And Simon Jones was down there actually bowling. He'd had a niggle, as usual, for Simon. So he was getting back into it for the Ashes tests coming up. And with Troy Cooley down at the nursery ground in Hampshire, I just remember Troy shouting to him what ball he wanted him to bowl, you know, in swing, out swing, Yorker. Simon just running up and just delivering these balls on order. And I've known Simon since he was a kid through Glamorgan ranks and bits and bobs, and just thinking, wow, what a skill that is to be able to do that, you know. And actually went on that summer in that series to you know, to carry on delivering that way, type of thing. Amazing summer for him, really, and the rest of the lads. And you know, I look at those four bowlers there, Harmison, Flintoff. But Hoggy, for me, would win series here. He would come up right at the end, and he's just such a workhorse. Great guy to have around the team as well. Amazing team man, you know, just helping out quietly and stuff. But, I don't think those other three would have got the portage they got without someone like Hoggy, you know, working his socks off behind them as well. So, but yeah, incredible. I mean, that series just bizarre, isn't it? It was so good to watch. And you know, I was chuffed really for someone like Vaughan as well, who'd worked, you know, worked hard through his debut in 99 out in South Africa, when we were 4-for-2, I think, 4 wickets for 2 runs at Joburg, to see Mike get taken the team through as well, because he's a fantastic guy again and a great leader. You know.
Mentioned some top players there. I'm just wondering, throughout your career as a physio, I guess one of the more important influences you can have is on young players, new players coming through, in terms of looking after themselves and giving themselves good habits. Is that an important part of
what you're trying to... I come back to, you know, my timeline, I suppose, that those years with the under-19s of England, you know, where you've got a group of 20 kids you've never met before. Every year they change, you know. I mean, our first cohort was sort of a 16-year-old Marcus Truscarthic, Michael Vaughan was captain, Darren Thomas, Gary Butcher from Glamy, but players like Danny Law, Richard Johnson, all these guys, Gary Keady, come through those age groups, and I loved it. I loved, because that's my strength, is bringing that group together, you know, on the field and off the field, really, and finding out, you know, their characters, what makes them tick and stuff. So I loved that. And then latterly at Glamorgan, I worked more second team with Watty and Shorzy there, and I love that environment, you know, where you've got guys trying to make their way, you know, and all the sort of I suppose the insecurities all that brings. It's nice to have, you know, somebody there who's been around a while as well to chat to. Obviously, somebody like Watty from a cricketing point of view, shows he's brilliant as well, brings a lot of humour to it. And then myself, just from an experience of being around, you know, a Lara or a Richard, as you say, or a Gooch, to try and give off how they sort of went about it, do you know what I mean? How they did it and stuff. But most of them, you know, the message of most of them is they keep it pretty simple. And you know, but I did, I really enjoyed the youngsters coming through side of it, you know. Always enjoyed that, yeah.
What are you doing currently, Dean?
Well, I finished, I ended up, I worked for, as well as the England stuff, I sort of managed the physio delivery stuff at Glamy for that third year period, essentially. But I worked for Surrey for 6 years as head of science medicine. We had a couple of clinics in London as well at the time, Wimbledon and Windsor. And then come back just to help out with Glamy second team and stuff, which I loved, enjoyed the second team stuff. And then Bangladesh got in touch, and I ended up getting talked into going to work for them for about 18 months or so, which was, again, another, you know, great experience. Really good bunch of lads, the players there. But, you know, a completely different setup to England or Glamorgan. But fascinating. And, you know, we toured down through New Zealand, Australia with them. Played the inaugural test match in Hyderabad. Bangladesh, India. So hooked up with Ravi again out there, you know, and then just the travel. I thought, I don't want to finish doing that. So we finished up. Had a break, and then Scotland Cricket contacted me then to come and do some work with them a few years back. And obviously it was meant to be. I said I'd work for them for 1 year for 100 days. But it was just pre-pandemic, so it sort of morphed into a bit longer than that, really. The World Cup in Oz was delayed another year. They completed it last year in Dubai. So I worked with them, and again, lovely bunch of guys. You know, amazing base at the Grange in Edinburgh there. I couldn't believe how strong Scottish cricket was in comparison to Welsh cricket, even, you know. The clubs, the history of the clubs, they're very, very stable, financially viable clubs, you know, and the game is almost feels bigger in Scotland than in Wales, which really surprised me. You know, they're very close to full status now and should get it, you know. They've got some good players there. I've got other things I'm working on and stuff, and I it's so time consuming doing physio for cricket, you know. As you say, the days are long enough, but it would take me a day to get to Scotland and then to cover a couple of days and a day to get back, or if you're not flying. So just the travel side of it made it impractical. So I finished up that last summer, and I'm not planning on answering the phone anymore, Steve, to be honest, from a cricketing point of view. So I finished up clinically. I was never a big fan of private practice, so I always worked in sport, you know. But I don't really want to work clinically now. I want to go and do other things, you know. So pretty much finished up the last couple of years now.
And family still very important to you? Your own family, your children? And
yeah, they're the crux of it. And I'm friends, you know. I mean, I'm still, you know, Maynard, Fackie, and still my best groups, you know, best mates. amongst others from back home in Mount and stuff. And yeah, my mates and my family, we still, you know, we've been in the same house 30 years now. The three kids are all born there. They live in Cardiff, Ponty, and spread around a bit now.
Are they sporty?
Sophie's my daughter's was a little bit, not so much now, she's teaching. My middle boy Joe's played rugby, cricket, went up to Christ College, Brecon on a scholarship, yeah. Scrum half, played for Mount a little bit, played sort of age group stuff with Cardiff Blues. Now my youngest one was Adam, was the rugby one who went through all the programs, just missed out on caps and stuff. And, he's playing, he went off to Reading, played Bucks up there at uni and stuff, and still plays now. So he's the current rugby player in the family, you know. But yeah, they're all sporty, and you know, and they're the same in the extended family, the cousins and stuff. They're all into sport, but not many into cricket, sadly. But Adam and Joseph, my two boys, played cricket at St Fagans growing up. Great, they looked after them fantastically there, but they never really. I think that stage from kids to adult cricket and 40, 50 overs on a weekend is time consuming now, where in the past...
It was a big transition.
Yeah, yeah, in the past people would see it, like friends of mine who Cardiff Cricket Club stalwarts and that, and some fagans used to love, you know, Saturday and sometimes a Sunday away and that. I think time now to commit to sport is it's just not there, is it? It's not, especially in the younger generation. So that's where I think, you know, maybe T20s are coming through. Obviously midweek they can play them, because both my lads are pretty good at cricket and enjoy it, but I just think the time has stopped them taking it up and continuing it, you know. But you know, it'd be nice to get them back into it this summer. Yeah.
I bumped into you at the Do for Paul Crump, launching his book.
Yeah.
So, and Matt was there, and Simon was there.
Yeah.
It was lovely to see guys like that coming to support someone like Paul.
Yeah.
Clearly, there's a family in Welsh cricket that kind of, you know, even those players that have reached great success still remember and still kind of want to be.
You know, those two guys in particular, you know, to support Crumpy that night is a great effort. You know, Matt's had great support from the Penydarren group, the larger group, you know, with the trust, and Matt respects that, and will support the boys, anything they're trying to do. But again, it goes back to that. You know, I mean, you were there that night. It's a bit of fun. It's a great cause, and it generally comes down to the crack, you know, and the characters that were there in that night, you know. It's a classic Valleys cricket night, isn't it? You know, and I bumped into Crumpy, funny enough, in the bank a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I've seen the photo.
Yeah, from nowhere, yeah. And I was like, he was in there. And, what an amazing bloke. I didn't know him that well when he was at his pomp. But, you know, given the world as it is now, this bloke would have been a global icon, no doubt, you know, in what he achieved, what he's doing now. He's challenging me to golf now, and I'm too embarrassed to play him because I know he's going to beat me. And but he's just amazing, yeah. But it's there's a lot of, I mean, I'm very proud of the Valleys and where I'm from, and that there's a huge amount of support up there for each other.
You must be pleased with this initiative this year, the Valleys Walk for Cricket. And if you came across
Canny, yeah, Michael Cann is another character and a legend of the game. And we bumped into each other in a bar in Tokyo for the World Cup, Rugby World Cup, of 26 million people. I bumped into Canny, and we were with a few mates there, so we had some fun with him, and had a few follow up meets when he got back, because he's obviously. You know, as work starts to slip off at a certain age, you get time to do stuff you really want to do, you know, and Canny's got involved in that, and he's a great guy to drive that. But yeah, even my club, Mountain Ash, which is not, you know, it's a rugby town, is we've got a cricket club, but it's not, Aberdeen would generally be the cricket club, and Aberconan in the south of the valley have always had, you know, good cricket teams and stuff. But Mount have started the All Stars, which I think starts up this Friday, so it's good to see, you know, the magic formula there is just to get these hundreds of kids that we've got playing age group rugby in all these valley clubs playing cricket for 4 months of the season as well. That's what, you know, is the dream, because you've got ready-made athletes, you've got, you know, guys who may actually prefer cricket after a couple of years of playing it to rugby as it gets more physical. And so, you know, that model in South Africa, New Zealand is a clear one. You know, New Zealand, the rugby boys love their cricket, and the cricketers obviously love their rugby, but they all play as well, you know. And we've had, you know, you've got, what's his name, Kerry Sweeney, you've got loads of boys down west who played the Scarlets boys, the Shingler and stuff. You could put a pro rugby cricket team out that would compete with a lot of good teams, yeah, you know. And I think the more of that we get, that cross-sport mentality, the better, you know. And obviously for cricket to grow, you know, the only mass participation I see youngsters doing, and the FAW are really good at it as well, you know, with kids football and stuff, but is that sort of football rugby, the club driven from 6 up to 16, you know, it's fascinating and amazing what they do, and how these kids would what they would do without that, because there wouldn't be any sport, you know, school sports dwindled, and I think we really need to support these clubs to maintain that participation, you know. But it'd be fantastic. Interested in Mount now on the weekend, how many of the rugby lads go up, the youngsters, to have a go at cricket for a couple of months, you know, while there's no rugby. So I think that's a great move there.
Dean, thanks for all your time today. It's been lovely chatting to you.
Pleasure, no problem.
Many thanks to Dean for giving us his time. Diolch yn fawr. Next week, we talk to rugby analyst, commentator and Pataalbuk boy Sean Holly. He will no doubt be bringing us some more stories about the great game of cricket from the great country of Wales. Hwyl fawr. Bye for now.
Oes gyda chi stori i'w rhannu gyda ni? Mae croeso i chi gysylltu. E-bostiwch mwcpod1921@gmail.com neu ewch i'n tudalen Facebook, Museum of Welsh Cricket Podcast, neu i'n tudalen Twitter, @WelshCricketPod. Do you have a story you'd like to share with us? If so, please contact email mwcpod1921@gmail.com or go to our Facebook page, Museum of Welsh Cricket Podcast, or our Twitter, @WelshCricketPod.